Today we're in Cardiff in the UK with Tim Moss, the UK's Companies Registrar and CEO of Companies House. We're here to discuss the way that this agency is using structured XBRL data to improve reporting. We're going to learn a bit about the journey that Companies House has been on in modernising the collection of financial statements from private companies and public companies, as well as the bold step taken last year to use open data principles to make inline XBRL versions of company financials available to everyone. Tim, welcome. Perhaps you could start by telling us a little bit about your background and let us know how you arrived in your current role.
Thank you, John. Interesting you mentioned about public and private sector, because my career has been very much 50-50. I spent 12 years in manufacturing industry before having 12 years in the public sector. So I know a little bit about both worlds. And really the transition was linked to the part where Companies House was really a big paper factory. My background in manufacturing industry meant that I joined to look after what was then the big paper factory, and have been with them through the transformation to very much a digital organisation that we see today. Along the way, I've done various roles, both operationally, then to corporate strategy, but then over the last couple of years, the role as Chief Executive and Registrar.
So tell us what the responsibilities of the UK Companies Registrar are. I mean, it's something that goes back a long way, right, back to the 19th century.
Yes. In fact, this year will be our 170th birthday.
Congratulations.
On the 1st of November, where we go back to 1844 and I think the first bit of legislation around joint stock trading companies. And next year will be the 160th anniversary of the Limited Liability Company. So we've got a great history, and I'm the 31st registrar in a long and distinguished line. But at the heart of what we do is, you know, we start companies. We record the life events that go on during the company's existence, and in many cases also end the company with their dissolution. And then we make that information available. So we really view our role very much as this information exchange. Get the information in and then make it available. And our role is to make that as simple and as effective as possible.
So that's a bit different to some countries. In some countries, the idea of a company's registrar is relatively narrow. It does really relate to the birth and the death and marriages of companies, and that's about all. But in the UK, and obviously in many other parts of the world, the social contract associated with allowing businesses to operate with limited liability obliges those companies to put a range of information into the public domain. Of course, this includes annual financial statements. How does that approach help UK commerce?
I think very much we do stress this idea of the deal, the balance. A company, the directors and shareholders have limited liability, and the price of that is transparency. And the role of the registry is very much around that transparency piece, opening up corporate UK so that people can understand what's going on, so that people can then have the benefit of limited liability. And that's central to what we do. It's very much around, as I said, this deal and that balance between, you know, the burden placing on business to give us the information, but then the benefits to the economy of that data. And we view very much our role is around providing access to that data. If nobody looks at the registry, it has limited value to the UK economy. But by making this data so widely available, we develop real benefits. For example, I think the Business Information Providers Association put some numbers together to say, based on the figures that we present, whether it be accounts and other information about companies, that underpins a UK lending market worth over £190 billion a year. We've had various other studies which says the value of the UK company information provides millions of pounds of benefit to the UK economy. And I also believe if you look at things like the World Bank Ease of Doing Business survey, the UK consistently comes out number one for ease of credit. The start of credit is information. If you haven't got good corporate information, then that whole market doesn't really exist or work effectively. So there are a number of ways where actually we really play a key role for the UK economy. I think one of our former ministers described us once as part of the essential plumbing of the UK economy. Often unseen, but absolutely vital. And if it went wrong, would cause chaos. So it's not the most flattering one, but at the same time, I think it is essential to our role.
So prior to the development of electronic data collection, how did Companies House go about carrying out its responsibilities?
Well, really much, as I mentioned earlier, when I first joined Companies House 12 years ago, we were a big paper factory. Millions of bits of paper coming in. In fact, we measure it in terms of tonnes of paper coming in every week. And at peak filing times, we would be getting several tonnes of paper coming in almost every day. And we ended up with 30 miles of paper shelf of paper information stored in our repository, because we had to keep all that paper for a minimum of 10 years. So massive racks on two or three floors of paper after paper after paper. With the move to digital, that's all changed. Far less paper. We're not completely digital, but far less paper and everything stored electronically.
That change process was very interesting to watch from the outside. You famously had an origami dinosaur made out of old-style forms on all of your communications with the public as you shifted from paper to structured data of various kinds. Did UK companies and accounting firms embrace this change, this modernisation effort?
I think on the whole they have. I mean, it's been very much a journey, as with any transformation it is. It's taken us, you know, probably the best part of 10 to 15 years to go right the way through this journey. And it's very much about working with the users, both those filing information, those accessing information, to understand what they're doing and how we can make it as easy as possible for them to do it. And part of it is communication. It's things like the dinosaur campaign. Others were about raising awareness of our systems and the fact there were some real benefits to be had by filing electronically and accessing the data. And there's clear evidence in terms of both the time it takes people, the costs incurred, but also things like quality. You can build in checks, and actually the levels of rejects from electronic processes are far, far less than you get from paper processes. So it's very much about communicating the benefits, but also very importantly, understanding the process of who does the filing and how we can help them to do it. In the days of the paper world, we didn't care who filed. As long as we got the bit of paper in on time, that's all we're worried about. But in a digital world, you need to understand who's actually doing the filing. Is it the accountant? Is it the director? You know, are they doing it at the weekends? What systems they're using? How they're doing? You know, what are the skills they've got? And really understanding a lot more about who is the customer and what do they need to do to supply the information so that we can make it as easy as possible for them to do it.
It's a very interesting approach. And you've done it very systematically. In 2006, you started collecting XBerrel data on a voluntary basis in place of paper and PDF financial statements. So many of us in the XBerrel community were surprised at how successful that initial effort was, given that it was on a voluntary basis. What do you attribute that to?
There's a number of things, but I think to start with, it was a case of let's start with simple first. So we started with the very basic accounts that we get in, dormant accounts and abbreviated accounts. So if we get it right with those very simple concepts and forms, then it was easy then to expand out. And it was also one where we could very clearly and quickly demonstrate benefits to customers. Accounts are quite slightly different to the other sorts of information we get in, things like annual returns and change of details forms. We prescribe the format that people send that information in, and it's a set format for every single transaction. Well, accounts are slightly different. You know, they're about, you know, the company delivers a copy of the accounts that they've signed off to the registrar, and they have quite a variety of formats. But at the very simple end, you know, the formats didn't vary much, and actually you could employ more sort of template-style reporting. So that's why we started with the very simple ones. It also, they account for a very large proportion of the bits of paper we get in, or the accounts we get in. And so if we get it right there, that would have an immediate benefit, both for the companies but also for us. So we started simple and then have built on from then to get into the more complex accounts types. And I think that's been key in really some of the early day success that we had.
So that sounds like very good advice for others that are going down this path, starting simple. That growth was quite rapid, but then it did hit something of a ceiling. How much of that was to do with difficulties with rendering?
A fair bit was to do with that. As I mentioned, you know, in the UK, it's a company has to sign off a true and fair view set of its accounts, and they've got freedom as to the format. They must meet the principles of the accounting standards and the associated rules, but it's certainly not, you know, a fixed format. And so with, you know, at the time when we started looking at this, 2 to 2.5 million companies, you could have 2 to 2.5 million different sets of accounts. That's not really conducive to an electronic world where standardisation is key. And so whereas it was okay for the simple dormant accounts and abbreviated accounts to have a more standardised format for reporting, that certainly wasn't the case for, you know, small accounts or full accounts or certainly not audited ones, where very much the company and their accountants want to present the company in the best way linked to the accounting standards. So how people presented the information was really important. And also recognising the fact that accounts are used for a number of different purposes, of which filing with the registrar is only one. You know, they're for the company, they're for the shareholders, they're for a number of other purposes. And we did some interesting insight which said that actually the process of filing information with the registrar was only 1% of the process of presenting accounts. And what we had to recognise was that when you're only 1% of the process, you're not in a strong position to change the process. So how could we fit with the way that companies and their accountants produced accounts that also enabled electronic filing with the registrar? And that's why we then moved into the world of inline XBRL, because it could deal with the rendering and presentation aspects as well as giving us the tag data that sits behind it.
And you did that in 2011, I think, working with the UK Tax Authority, HMRC. Companies House started to allow inline XBRL filings. So I think you've discussed some of this, but what was your advantage? What was the advantage for your agency in allowing the use of inline XBRL documents?
Well, it was very much around it was fitting with the process of the way that people produce accounts. As I said, they produce them for a number of purposes, for the tax authority, for the company's registrar, but also for their shareholders and other interested parties. So it was a way of allowing the standard format and the way they do things to be used for both our filing and for other people. What we also saw was really important was to make sure we did have that standard approach with the tax authority. It'd be crazy for government to set two standards for reporting for what is essentially the same information. So we had an agreement back in 2009 with the tax authority that we would employ the same basis for looking at accounts filing using inline XBRL. And that's been really key to the progress that we've made from those early days of the sort of the standard format of dormant accounts right the way through to the point now where we can accept full and full audited accounts.
Mm-hmm. The number of inline XBRL filings has grown extremely rapidly. It seems as though preparing inline XBRL seems to have become embedded within accounting firms' processes in this country. Was that something that surprised you? Was that something that you worked towards?
I think it's very much something that we worked towards, because central to this whole journey of moving to becoming a sort of digital organisation has been based around understanding what our customers do. And again, some of that early research with the accountancy profession and with companies said, actually, they use accounting software packages for 60-70% of all the accounts we get in come through that sort of route. So we really need to engage with accounting software providers to develop solutions that enable their packages to file information directly to us. So it was based very much on understanding the market, understanding what people actually do, and then trying to fit the sort of the outcome we wanted with that process. And so it took a while to work with the sort of leading accounting software providers and fit in with their development schedules. But that's been key to the success on this journey, so that people can file using inline XBRL.
Mm-hmm. So I think you received something like 1.8, 1.9 million sets of accounts in iXBRL each year on a voluntary basis. Do you think you'll move to a mandatory arrangement at some point in the future?
It's something that's open for discussion and open for debate. We have the ability within law to go back to Parliament and get mandation. But our philosophy has always been, well, why do we need to mandate if we can make it as easy and simple as possible for people to do it? So if we can get the services right, and certainly as we've done with a number of other transactions, get very high levels of take-up by making the services good, then why do we need to mandate? It's something that we will always keep under review, and I think in a year or two's time, when we've really seen further developments in the market around all sets of accounts being able to file electronically, we'll look as to whether we need to mandate and the benefits of doing it. But our first priority is about making the services really good for the user.
Hmm. Now, at the end of 2013, you took a pretty big decision to make inline XBRL versions of financial statements available for free. Can you tell us what some of the factors were in making that decision?
I think it almost goes back a piece as to almost the original decision around going down XBRL and iXBRL. It wasn't just around making it easier for ourselves to examine the data and automate it rather than using things like static PDFs. But it was very much about saying, actually, there's an awful lot of value of that's held within accounts, and how can we make this end-to-end process of getting the information in and making it available as efficient and effective as possible? And so having the information in sort of tagged data format, it was always the plan to say, OK, we want to be able to get the benefit of this and make this available at some point in the future. So it's always been part of the plan, but what we want to do is get a sufficient body of information to make it valuable for users to have. So once we got to levels of 60%+ of take-up and 1.5 to 2 million sets of accounts, we certainly had a mass of data. We thought, right, now's a good time to make this available so that people can start unlocking the power of that's held within that accounts information. And also it fits very much with the sort of core purpose of the register. As I mentioned earlier, the purpose of the register is so people can access the information on it. We're very much into a digital age, and it's about saying how can we actually access and get the power of digital data rather than dealing in static information, and very much a key building block for what's the purpose of the register and how it can support the economy moving forward and help the sort of the broader agenda around corporate transparency in the UK.
So I gather there being a lot of downloads of the data, and we'll include a link to that part of your site from this podcast. What do you expect people will get out of this information? What do you think entrepreneurs will do with this data?
We've been really excited by the success of the product. We've had 25,000 plus downloads since we launched it last November. And I think it's exciting to see both existing users of accounts data getting greater benefit from it, but also some new users coming out. So some of the big information providers previously put a lot of effort into rekeying some accounts data. They can now automate their processes and make those more efficient. But also because the product's been made available for free, it's allowing new people to come and just play with the data and see what can happen. I think, you know, we don't yet know what's the full potential of this, but being able to do it in this way allows people to explore and develop and try things out. And when you think what we've got is a huge cross-section of companies right the way across the UK, that data is now available in digital format that people can start doing automatic analysis and understanding, and I certainly believe will make the UK the most transparent in terms of its corporate data in the world. And who knows what the benefits will come from that, but certainly I think it will continue to underpin the economy, make it easier to make decisions about companies, and hopefully that will support both the credit market, but also making the UK a good and easy place to do business.
So those wider benefits to society are very much tied up in this process, right? So if there are different ways of accessing and analysing the data, then businesses will have better information on which they can base their decisions on, whether that's a credit decision or whether that's to do with taking on a new customer or a new supplier or making a supply chain more efficient. Those are the kinds of things you're driving at.
Absolutely. I think we've almost come complete circle from where we said, well, what's the purpose of the register? And talked about this deal around companies and shareholders and directors getting limited liability. But the balance of that is around transparency. And why is there transparency? It's because other people are going to do business and they want to be able to make informed decisions about which companies they choose to do business with, what's the track record of directors or of companies, and that will help them decide, okay, who am I going to do business with? Is this going to be a good decision? And the easier it is to make those decisions, then that will benefit the UK economy. So we see some real benefits in terms of making the UK one of the most open and transparent places to do business.
And clearly there's an invitation out there for everybody to access that information and do innovative things with it.
Absolutely. And what I'd also add to that is please tell us. One of the downsides of open data is you make it available for free, allow anyone to come in and take the data, but you don't always find out what they've done with it. And we believe this is absolutely the right thing to do. But if you download the data and you do something interesting, please do come and tell us. You can get the data from the website and go and play. Go and see what value you can get from this huge resource of data.
That's brilliant. What are the next steps in this process for Companies House?
I think there are a number of things. One is getting to the point where just about every company is filing using XBRL and iXBRL. So we have a full data set of accounts. We're currently up to about 65% of companies. We really want to get that up to 90%+ as soon as we possibly can. So that's one thing, get even more data in so that we can then make it available. At the moment, we've made the data available as sort of bulk data set. But in the future, we want to make that available as individual sets of accounts that you can look at the image, but you can also download the data and maybe just throw it straight into Excel or something like that, so that you can do your analysis as an individual on any particular company you're interested in, or do some due diligence work between a couple of different companies. And then it's around the further announcement that we've made around opening up all our data. And we hope that by the summer of next year, all the data that Companies House has in digital format will be available for free, not just the accounts data, and really allowing for them people to play around and mix and match data together and see what benefit they can get from this great data resource that we hold.
Great. So lastly, what suggestions can you make to other agencies that are modernising their processes and beginning to go down this path of shifting from what has essentially been a paper paradigm to structured data?
I think firstly, I would absolutely encourage you to do it. But I think probably the most important lessons that we've learned are: start with understanding your customers. You know, start with user need. Understand with, you know, how you're getting the data in, what are you going to do with it, and really understanding your role within that process, and making sure that the services that you provide really do meet the user need from the start. I'd also go along with a mantra about keep it simple. Start simple. See how you can simplify it all the way along the route, because it's very easy to get very complex very quickly. and that's not, that will just add time and cost and complexity to what you're doing. So try and keep it simple. But also to say, look, you know, we're moving very much into a fully digital age. You know, it's the information economy, the power of data. And so I'd encourage people to go down this route and use things like XBRL and iXBRL to really unpack the value that's within data, such as accounts.
Thank you very much. Here at XBRL International, we're big fans of the work that you're doing. And in fact, Companies House is the recipient of one of our 2014 Project Excellence Awards. Thank you very much, Tim Moss, CEO of Companies House, for all of your efforts and the work of your team. And many thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you, John.